Hey everybody, Evan here. After we recorded part of the beginning of the podcast, we realized that the audio quality was not going well. So about 20 minutes in, you're going to see a noticeable increase in audio quality. That's because we realized I was not recording through my microphone. Sorry about that. The rest of the audio will be just fine. But for the first 20 minutes, I'm going to sound a little choppy. But enjoy. We're talking to Nikita Koloff. It's going to be a great time. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we are looking at one of the biggest Russian heels of the 80s, but he's from Minnesota.
He's from Minnesota, and his name is like Oliver Simpson or some shit like that.
Nelson Simpson. We are looking at the career of Nikita Koloff. On this show, we look at a wrestler through five of their most important matches to review their body of work, hence the name. And this week, we're looking at Nikita Koloff, a stalwart of the 80s, like, Cold War era wrestling landscape, yes. We'll call it.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about Nikita Koloff?
I knew he was a part of the Koloffs. I would say I know more about Ivan than Nikita, just because Ivan was around earlier, so you hear more about his work in the 70s and all that jazz. And then obviously Nikita comes up and they're a tag team for a while. And then Nikita Koloff, I think, if I remember correctly, I think Nikita Koloff is actually Christian Cage's favorite wrestler.
That tracks. Like, I believe that. There's no
I
doubt.
I feel like I
mind.
Remember him saying that one time. I think it was when they had their podcast.
I love that podcast and that show.
Yeah, the show was excellent. That show was incredible. I could not believe that they got away with some of the shit they got away with on that show.
You have to believe Vince had no idea the show was on.
No. Like he probably knew of the show, never saw a single second of it, except for when he was on it.
He's not going to watch anything with Christian on it because he wants to put a blue dot on his face.
I like to believe that Vince McMahon didn't even know how to open up the WWE Network.
Oh, 100%. He has no idea how to do it.
Yeah, he's not a tech-savvy individual is what I'm going to go with. So I'm just going to assume that he had no idea what was going on there.
So Nikita Koloff, like you mentioned, he's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He attended Robbinsdale High School, played on the football team, defensive line, was an all-conference wide receiver as well. That's a tough two-way to play. D-end and wide receiver? That's quite the combo. Fellow students at that school included Barry Darso, who is Smash, Kurt Hennig, Rick Rude, Tom Zank, John Nord, and Brady Boone. And I had to look up Brady Boone. I'm like, why do I know him? It's because he was Battle Cat in WWF.
I don't remember Battle Cat.
Oh, man, look up Battle Cat. He's some of the worst gear I've ever seen in my life. So, Koloff graduated from high school in 77, enrolled at Golden Valley Lutheran College, where he played college football alongside another future wrestler, that being Joe Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Animal from the Road Warriors. He suffered an injury, rehabbed to play football again. He was going to try out for the USFL when Animal decided to call him up and become a professional wrestler. Animal's like, hey, you'd actually really like this wrestling thing. Come join us.
Kind of cool. I just looked up Battle Cat, and yeah.
It's awful. Yeah. It's so really bad. So then, Simpson decided to go into wrestling, and he showed up to Jim Crockett Jr.'s promotion, so Jim Crockett Promotions, renamed him to Nikita Koloff, told him to shave his head bald, and teamed him with his quote-unquote uncle, Ivan Koloff and Don Kernodle, who was a turncoat American. So our first match is from right at the beginning of his career, and it is him teaming, of course, with Ivan Koloff against Keith Larson and Ole Anderson at Starrcade 1984.
What is it, the Scandinavian connection?
Yes, because Larson is, I assume, Swedish, and Ole Anderson, I assume, is also somewhere around there.
Yeah, if I had to guess, probably Norwegian.
Yeah.
Or Danish. It could be Danish. No, actually.
I'd love to go there.
Switching it to Danish. Anderson?
That's true.
Sounds about right.
Sounds Danish. What did you think of the match?
I don't know. This is just like your standard early 80s tag match, no? It's really what it felt like. It's just a lot of heat. Yeah. Especially, I assume this has some sort of background to it as far as like heat and all this stuff, like rivalry between some combination of these people. So I'm just going to assume that that's why the baby faces are on top for a long time there. Until finally, you know, things change, and then you get, it really just felt like your bog standard tag team match. The only real difference was just how long the babyfaces were on top for.
Nikita was not in the ring for so long.
It was like 10 minutes, it felt like, honestly.
Yeah, he was not in the ring. Ivan is getting his left arm worked so constantly. Yeah. You know who I was kind of impressed with in this match was Keith Larson. I've never heard of him before.
Same. Never heard of him. Did not like the look. The hair.
Looks not great.
The hair is outrageously poofy.
Yeah. You know when they couldn't quite get Ric Flair's hair right in like WWE games? Like
yes.
Like Ric Flair? That's exactly what Keith Larson looks like. It's like if Man. You machine washed Ric Flair.
No, it honestly just looks like, you know, random, like 20-year-old who's like, yeah, man, I want to look like one of the Duran Duran guys.
I mean, Duran Duran's cool at this time, especially.
Yeah, but it's, you know what I mean, right? It's like when someone of their youth around that time period just wanted to look like one of the hair metal or the hair, rock bands, you know?
All right,
like,
let's talk young people hair. What's your worst hair faux pas? Did you like get the Bieber cut at any point?
My worst. Oh God. Actually, I think it was in college. I believe it was my sophomore year of college. So I had grown out my hair junior year of high school.
Okay.
That's when I started growing it. And by the end, it was like really long and stuff. And then my freshman year of college, I finally decided to cut it like in the spring.
Yeah.
And then I just let it grow again. And once I got to college, or once I transferred to UMass Amherst, I shaved like this just the side, not shaved, but like I really cut it low, just the sides, and I just had the long part at the top, and it looked so fucking bad, bro.
Mine was middle school. Your boy had hair down to his shoulders.
There's no fun. I need to see it.
No,
I need to see it.
All photographic. So if you want to paint a picture, obviously get rid of the beard. Hair that has, my hair is incredibly thick and dense. Like there's lots of it, but it is, has no volume. It just like straight down, rocking a red Dwayne Wade Miami Heat jersey.
Oh.
And just spitting Eminem lyrics to himself. That was
me. And for those who are watching here on YouTube, which also, hi, subscribe and thumbs up or whatever.
Well, that's up.
And I know for a fact that you've had the same hairline since you were about fresh out the womb.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
it's been about a year. It maybe has come in a little bit on the sides, but yeah, it's been around here the whole time.
Just see it, and I've seen the way you look without facial hair, and it is a sight. You have the babiest of faces.
I suffer from James Harden syndrome. Where I need a beard, my face is not complete without facial hair of some capacity. So
I know your mom's gotta have one photo somewhere.
I don't know, man. I burned those. You remember when you're 13? You're like, if anyone tries to take a photo of me, like I'm gonna light this place on fire. Yeah, that was me.
I know there's something out there. I'm gonna have to ring her up, see what happens.
When Nikita does get into the ring, he does the bear hug a lot.
Yeah.
But I at least like that he does the lift. Because some guys we've seen were doing the bear hug just sitting, like standing on the mat. No, he's at least lifting the guy in the air, which is tough.
That's Ole Anderson. It's Ole's a big boy.
It's a big boy. Ole also gets free by doing the double ear slap, a move that I want more of all of the time.
I want that to be someone's finisher.
Somebody big. Satnam Singh needs to do the double ear slap.
Change Amash's finisher.
Yeah. Oh, don't rile up the Homo sapiens. They'll get really upset. Let's talk about the finish. What'd you like? Let's describe the finish to the people.
Homo sapiens is great. By the way, Nikita's a big ass dude.
He's huge.
His back.
Huge.
It's not even a double wide. That's a triple. I don't know how he finds a shirt that fits.
That's why he wears the singlets.
Because he's like, what, 6'2"? Like, he's not that tall.
What are they listing Nikita Koloff at? They're listing him 6'2", 275.
He's a thick man. Anyways, at one point, so we get a whole little hot tag to Larson. Back elbow to Nikita, who sells it in the funniest way possible, which is basically like a cartoon character. Like he gets hit and then he just goes,
whoa,
he just falls back. And by the way, the thing that comes off to me here is, so Nikita is obviously pretty green. Yeah. But his selling is as opposite of green as it gets. The guy gets it.
Yeah.
He understands what he's supposed to be doing. He gets it done. Nikita takes out some dude named John, who I guess is the turncoat.
Don Kernoble.
Yeah, dude. That was a whole thing. And then it pissed Ole off. I don't know why, but it did.
Well, the thing is, because Don Kernoble is no longer with the Koloffs at this point. He's managing Larson and Ole. And so
my man just hates all Americans, I guess. He's
beating up on their old manager. So then Ole goes out to support him. And when and Ivan just fucking just demolished Don, gloss over that. He killed him.
I don't know what it was with, but it looked, I don't even know how to describe it. It had a rope attached to it or a string or some shit attached to it. I know that much. And yeah, Larson goes down like a sack of potatoes. While all this is happening, while the ref is distracted, obviously. 1, 2, 3. Koloff to win the match.
Yeah, Nikita hit him with a chain. It was a chain.
That makes sense. After the match, the dude Don gets back in the ring and just starts rocking people with his crutch, and that's about
it. You got it. Use it. You know.
So where we get.
So, Nikita Koloff did not cut promos early. He was a version of what I would call the Roman Reigns Shield treatment, where Ivan would cut promos. And Nikita would just stand behind him with his arms crossed and look tough. That was his whole thing. He would just do that, nothing else. And
which is funny because now Roman's one of the better promos in wrestling.
Yeah, it's true. In December, so they got rid of Knodel, and Koloff introduced Crusher Khrushchev, which was his smash. So they became a trio. And they won this NWA World 6-Man Tag Titles. 3 months later, Ivan and Nikita Koloff would defeat Dusty Rhodes and Manny Fernandez to win the NWA Tag Titles. And Nikita got so over that within a year, at Great American Bash 1985, he is challenging for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against a guy that, of course, was holding the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair!
This is at a baseball diamond in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ric Flair arrives by helicopter. That is the closest thing to God you will see in North Carolina.
I mean, it's the callback that Charlotte did at WrestleMania 35.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Which it wasn't until I saw it that I was like, oh, that's the one. Okay.
So the thing is, I had assumed, I'm like, Ric Flair has 100% shown up in helicopters before. So this is why Charlotte's doing it. And now I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Limousine riding, jet flying.
Helicopter steering.
Wheeling, dealing, son of a gun.
What did you think of this big singles match for Nikita?
I'm very happy that it was condensed in our clip, which is as ideal as it gets, because Nikita Koloff should not be wrestling a 40-minute banger.
It has transitions. Like, star wipes are happening in this clip. I encourage you to go watch it.
It's great. I love this. But yeah, at one point, you know, Flair did his best to make Nikita a star in this match, is what I will say.
Flair flops like a son of a bitch. Like, he's so good at selling.
Yeah, and his offense is really based around, you know, Ric Flair obviously doesn't have the most extensive like repertoire when it comes to offense.
He's got a reasonably sized bag.
Yeah, but what he does really does like highlight Nikita in a positive way. Because, you know, when he does a chop, Nikita is like selling it in a funny ass way. When he hits a back suplex, Nikita sells it in a great way. At one point, Nikita has him in a bear hug and Flair just like kind of lifts him up and then hits an atomic drop. And it's really like, good. It's just a lot of creative ways of kind of working around Nikita's limited offense, yeah, and sort of transitioning it into Flair now being the one on top. Like the figure four was great. Nikita, yeah, gets out of it by raking his eyes, and that just puts more heat on the Russian and more sympathy on Flair, which, again, I know, I understand they're in the Carolinas, but it's really fucking hard to like Ric Flair, you know.
Unless it's very much Bret Hart in Canada. Like, once he's at home, it's like, all right, he's our guy. But then you put him, like, again, in the 80s, it was like, it seems so weird because it's such a bygone era that, you know, this guy's from a different country, boo him. And like, that's just what it was. Like, the Cold War, like, that's what it was. You had to boo the guy, like, you know, USA, everything is, you know, patriotism. That's awesome. And then they try that nowadays. People are like, we don't care. We do not give a hoot.
We don't give a rat's ass.
Flair gets some color because it's a match that Flair is in. So, of course, he's going to bleed.
Yeah.
This one, he gets some bleeding by going face first into the ring post at ringside after doing his Flair flop all the way over the turnbuckle to the outside.
Which is great. Anytime I see the Flair flop, it's fantastic. Nikita hits a clothesline for a near fall. It wasn't exactly the Russian sickle. It's just a regular looking clothesline. Yeah. So that's why we got to say that. Flair is bloody and wobbly. So peak Ric Flair has been unlocked.
He also does something incredibly gross where he wipes the blood off his face and just flicks it at Ivan.
Ugh. Like a razor.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Chico.
Chico.
I don't like it. You get an elbow drop by Flair for a two count. The ref is getting... So this is a weird thing that happens. The ref is getting Nikita off of Flair. Nikita then downs the ref. He pushes him over. The ref ends up getting bumped because Ivan's coming off the top rope to try to get Flair. Then something even weirder happens. What happens in this match?
A random fan runs in and tackles Ivan Koloff.
The people of North Carolina love Ric Flair so much. They will charge into the depths of hell against the Russians to protect him if they think he's getting screwed. And this man is immediately swarmed by security. He gets his arms around Nikita Koloff. He does.
Yeah.
And then immediately is bodied and
it wakes back up the ref, because the ref had to like get up to like
be like, hey,
you know, be like,
on?
What the fuck? Like, get this guy off in a timely manner. And because of that, like, he obviously can't just go back down and start selling, you know?
If we treated referees like fainting goats, I think that'd be fantastic. Like, anything can startle them and they'll just come back up.
Ric Flair does his corner, like his corner flop, then runs across the apron to another set of ropes, goes to the top, and actually hits a move. It's not a crossbody.
It's the ugliest diving attack I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to call it a crossbody. It's not one, but it's what I'm going to call it.
It's supposed to be.
It's ugly.
It's like seeing a drunk person dive into a pool.
And then at one point, Flair's on the apron. Nikita's in the ring. Nikita picks him up in the power slam kind of position from the apron. But he gets him back inside the ring, but in the process of lifting Flair up, ends up falling backwards. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Ric Flair wins the match.
He retains. The Koloffs attack the ref and Ric Flair after the match. Sam Houston, who's the name we've seen before, tries to help but gets whooped. A couple others try to come out and get whooped. So the Koloffs still get their heat back. Fun fact, this is Nikita Koloff's favorite match of his entire career.
Really?
Yep. He's been on record saying this is his favorite match.
It makes sense, match. Honestly.
It's a big moment, yeah.
It's a hot crowd. It's a big, like, stadium, arena-type feel. Yeah. You know, Listen, it would be mine, too. It's like, I don't know, it's like being in Puerto Rico against, like, let's say someone, I don't know, it's probably how Rhea Ripley felt, you know? Like, you're against someone who's, like, she's Puerto Rican. Like, she's got the embrace of this crowd. Like, I feel like that's the spot you want to be in, where everything you do is a boo and everything they do is like a mega cheer.
I also liken it to any like rookie or sophomore in a sports league winning a title in their like first or second year. Like if you win an NBA title in year two, you're you're like, wow, that season was awesome. You're like, shit, I want to play for like 15 more years. all right, I hope I reach that high again. I don't know if I will, but I sure hope I do.
Well, let's hope that, let's see, who's a rookie on the Celtics? Oh, literally no one.
Okay. Peyton Pritchard?
Peyton Pritchard's been in the league since 2019.
Why? Well, hey, he hasn't played at all. All right, we are going to take a break.
2020.
When we get back from the break, we are looking at a hot feud between Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA. Back from the break. So there was an incident on screen where Magnum TA, super over baby base of the NWA, incredibly over guy, hit
one of wrestling's tragedies.
True. He hit NWA president Bob Geigel for demanding an apology after he started a brawl with Nikita during a contract signing. So Magnum was stripped of the U.S. title. Then it was Nikita and Magnum who went into a best of seven series that took place during the Great American Bash Tour in 1986. The winner would be declared champion. Of course, they were tied with six matches and one no contest. The final match took place on August 17th, featured a bunch of run-ins, and Nikita won the U.S. title. Obviously, Magnum TA has grounds to get that rematch, so this is where we are. It is September 12, 1986 in the AWA, and it's Nikita Koloff defending the U.S. title in a 2 out of 3 falls against Magnum TA. And Tony Schiavone's ring announcing. Hell
baby
yeah.
Baby Tony Schiavone.
Baby Tony Schiavone. I love baby Tony Schiavone.
It's great. He looks so fucking young. It's wild.
This is my recommendation of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's fucking excellent. It's really, really good stuff.
It's so loud that you will be stunned watching this match, that crowds will get this hype over the U.S. title. It's crazy. Austin Theory could never.
Also, it just has to be said, Magnum TA looks like the porn star version of Dexter Lumis.
Wow. Kinda, yeah. I get
you're
that.
You're like thinking about it and you're like, you're never going to be able to look at Magnum TA the same way.
Though I do look at Magnum TA and see, like you talked about the trash. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what a fucking babyface. What an over guy. And the thing is, so to have that over a babyface, you need a heel that people want to cheer against. And Koloff was pretty good here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't think at any point really Nikita Koloff was a particularly skilled wrestler as far as, you know, in ring work, you know, all that jazz. But the guy just knew how to go beat for beat with whoever he was up against. Like, he's up against Ric Flair. He knows exactly the kind of performance he needs to give in order to make everything connect. He goes here against Magnum TA, the same thing. He knows exactly what he needs to do. Like, he's not going to go hold for hold with these people, but he knows how to make the story be told in the best possible way.
Absolutely. And Magnum can match Nikita's strength, and he's not used to that. Like, he just isn't used to that being something that happens to him.
Mind you, Magnum TA is not that big of a dude.
No, he's not that big of a dude.
But he's got some big ass arms.
So the actual match between Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff is pretty good. Like, he's matching the strength, like we said. He's doing all these things, but it's a really early first fall. Like, it feels really not early in time, but nothing has happened yet.
Yeah, Nikita does a bunch of knees to the ribs up against the rope area, but has to obviously break it up. He does some shoulder drives in the corner.
Yeah.
Bites Magnum TA in the head.
Hits him in the head.
But almost immediately after that, Magnum's on top. He hits a clothesline, a belly-to-belly suplex, and 1, 2, 3, he gets the first fall.
Gets the first fall. And then we're back into it. Magnum's working the left leg of Koloff. He gets sent to the outside, run into the very tiny barricade. It's the same barricades we saw last week. Very tiny, not a lot there for like Dr. C. Williams. And Nikita's selling the knee injury really well on the outside.
Yes.
Like, he not moving fast, shaking it out, like doing all the things you would do if your knee was hurting.
An elite seller, this guy. Truly.
Especially for only being, like we said, 2 years into the business. Like, he's pretty good at this.
Yeah. Koloff also, this is around the time period that I noticed, all of his moves are like high impact. He doesn't really do like, you know, your smaller moves. He's not like a big suplex guy.
Go big or go home. Yeah.
Yeah, like the his only real like kind of grounded offense as far as like, you know, this is just like a normal flow of the match type of thing is he'll do a headlock spot.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to go for big impact and nothing else.
Yeah, he does a choke spot where he's literally just after Magnum comes back from hitting the ropes, just grabs him by the throat, forces him down, and just chokes him until the ref finally gets him off.
Not even a slam, just a choke. Just a big fucking choke. And he's dominating in the ring. He hits a big clothesline and gets the second fall. So we're at 1-1, which...
Russian sickle.
It's so rare to get a 2-3 falls match that ends 2-0. Can you think of the last time you saw that? Because I can't. No.
I'm sure there's always been one.
Yeah. Tell us in the comments or on Twitter the last, you know, 2-0 sweep you saw in a best 2-3 falls match.
Was Dolph Ziggler involved?
So then into our final fall, both men are doing the thing where they run into one another. Magnum connects to the clothesline, crawls for a cover, gets a two. That's after a crossbody as well. And some nuclear heat whenever Nikita taunts the crowd.
Also, long headlock spot.
Oh, yeah. I just skipped ahead.
Come on. Yeah. First off, people, who do you think you're dealing with here?
Yeah, we know. We know how to skip.
We know how to skip.
We get right ahead. Nope. Not dealing with that.
Nikita gets rocked he gets rocked trying to go for a middle rope axe handle.
Yeah.
Spiking back body drop by Magnum TA. I was like, oh my God, that man's neck.
I'm like, they've almost botched it, but they figured it out. They got it. They figured it out.
Yeah. Judo throw by Magnum TA, which is great. I was like, oh, I didn't know Ronda Rousey taught him how to wrestle.
I was not expecting that. That's the way he got out of a sleeper. Was just to judo throw that man off his back. And Nikita, like we said, not a small guy.
No. Magnum TA by this point is absolutely fired up. And he's doing the thing where he's like fucking Goku going Super Saiyan. He's like,
Yeah. And the crowd is insane for him.
Yeah. You cannot hear the commentary pretty much at this point over the crowd, which is sad because it's young JR.
He simple strikes, a top rope axe handle, a suplex for a two, and then he goes for a backslide. And Nikita is too close to the ropes, and as he's folded over, his feet land on the ropes. The ref sees it as he is hitting the third count. So, Magnum thinks he has won the title because he's heard three counts. And the crowd is kind of excited because they think that Magnum's won, but some of them recognize that his feet were on the ropes. Do you agree with Magnum's decision on what he does next?
I do not, because it's just such a stupid babyface thing to do.
Okay. What does he do?
He gets the belt, fights off Ivan, then whacks Nikita with the belt without realizing that the match hadn't actually ended.
Yep.
So he gets DQ'd. He did not win the match. He did not win the belt. He tries leaving with the belt. The ref goes to stop him, saying, hey, like, that's not yours. You did not win this match. And he just pushes the ref and just goes. Yeah. And the ref, I believe, is David Watts, who's Cowboy Bill Watts' son or nephew or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. He's related to him. Has to be related to him in some capacity.
Damn. So this was September 1986. October of 1986 is when Magnum TA would be involved in his career-ending car accident. And with that, there were some pivots, and they needed to open up a new babyface. And Dusty Rhodes is apparently the person who saw that Nikita Koloff should be that babyface. Because things had been different between the Soviets and the United States. And so they were like, the era of evil Russian heels is kind of over. Like, let's not do that. So he booked Koloff to become a face, aligning with Dusty against the Four Horsemen. It took place on October 24th in Charlotte, North Carolina, because Rhodes needed a partner to take on Ole and J.J. Dillon in a cage match. And then Koloff came in and stated that even though he and Magnum TA had a bitter rivalry, Magnum had earned his respect, and now Nikita wanted to earn the respect of the American people. That's pretty good.
It tracks.
Pretty good. It tracks.
It tracks.
It seems logical, like best-of-seven series. Like, best-of-seven series, it's the familiarity, right? It's how the bar got formed. Good shit like that.
The bar.
And so that means that Koloff was going to be an ally of Dusty Rhodes, and that leads to the Great American Bash Tour of 1987, where a little thing was invented called War Games.
The match beyond.
In this match, we have Nikita Koloff teaming with Dusty Rhodes, former college friend Animal and Hawk in the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering, to take on the Four Horsemen, which in this case is Flair, Arn, Luger, and Tully, and J.J. Dillon. This is July 4th, 1987, and is the first ever War Games match.
Correction.
No?
It's the second ever.
What was the first?
War Games match. They had one like a month before this. I guess this is, or not a few, a couple months maybe before this. There's two in 1 year.
Interesting.
I believe this is the second one.
Interesting.
If I'm correct. Also, disclaimer to anyone who wants to watch this via the links that are provided. I apologize greatly for the quality of this match. It is triple ass cheeks. The quality of this video got a BBL because it's not great. It's bad. It's bad.
This is the first one.
This is the first one? Oh, so I was wrong. Never mind.
This is the first. So that's the thing is I read it and there were, on this tour, they bookended the tour in July with two versions of the War Games match. So there was this one, and then the next one, the only difference is instead of J.J. Dillon, the War Machine was with the Four Horsemen. The War Machine.
You're welcome, guys.
Being Ray Traylor, a.k.a. Big Boss Man.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It's a War Games match. To try to explain everything in the War Games match would be nuts. Javier, explain a War Games match for anyone who's never heard of one.
Two rings, one cage, 90 seconds in and out.
Yeah. So starts with five-minute period for two guys. One team gets the advantage, and they get the next guy in next. Every 2 minutes, somebody else joins in. And then once everybody's in the match beyond begins, and you can actually win by submission or surrender, they say. No pinfall.
Yeah. In the NWA WCW days, the match beyond used to be like somewhere between 2 and 5 minutes.
Yes, because everyone was exhausted. People were already bloody. It's not like NXT where once the things happen, there's like
another 20 minutes.
Another 20 minutes of crazy shit happening.
Yeah. The Horsemen get an absolute superstar entrance.
Yeah.
Absolute. They get like a whole security detail. It is like, if you were to take one look at that group as they came out in their entrance, you're like, oh, those guys are the superstars. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Just thinking about War Games, what's your favorite NXT War Games match?
Oh, God, that's a tough one. I really liked the Triple Threat one.
The first one? Undisputed Era, yeah, is that, and Sanity and Authors of Pain and Roddy Strong, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I really like that because in that one specifically, there's a spot where Roddy just pops the fuck off. Yeah. With backbreaker variations to everyone. And I'm like, this is peak wrestling.
It's pretty good. I think the Team Ciampa one versus Undisputed Era is my favorite. Like where Kevin Owens was the last guy.
That's fair.
It's so good.
Yeah, any of them is fine. I do think that unfortunately the worst one is the last one that they did. The 2.0 versus Gold one.
Yeah. Yeah, that one wasn't as awesome, but
also shout out Bron Breakker.
Yeah, new era. We're not going to be able to talk again about everything, but let's talk about the order in which people arrive. So we're starting the match with Arn and Dusty, truly this podcast's dream team to start this match.
We need to talk about one spot from when it's just these two and one spot only, and it's okay. When Dusty just leaves, goes to the other ring, and is like puts himself perched on the second rope or in the middle rope and is holding on to the ceiling, because mind you the roof of this cage is like barely clears their head.
Yeah,
you know, you can't do anything off the ropes, pretty much. It's really low. So Dusty's able to hold on to the top of the cage while being on the middle rope. Arn comes over and you would think maybe he's gonna go for a crossbody, maybe he's gonna do something like that. No, what he does is he grabs the top of the cage, swings himself and kicks Arn in the chest twice in rapid succession. Just boom, boom.
I love Dusty. It just doesn't, none of it makes any sense. I love it. Obviously, because this is the first ever War Games match, nothing was old hat by now. So, of course, the heels get the advantage. Of course, the horsemen win the coin toss. Tully's in next. They just beat the ever-living shit out of Dusty for two minutes. The next one in comes in is Animal. Tosses Tully into the other ring and into the cage repeatedly. He's like, at one point, it's just like consistently levering him into the cage. That's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah, at one point he like you mentioned the wheelbarrow slams to Tully, and then almost to be, this was not 2 minutes. I don't care what they say, it was not 2 minutes before Ric Flair comes in. It was at best 45 seconds.
Flair comes in the ring. He's chops. He's doing a woo. He does hip thrusts. Ric Flair is, this is his final form.
This is the Nature Man.
This is the Nature Man.
It's not Nature Boy. This is a man right here.
Volkov comes in third for his team. I thought they were setting him up to be the last guy in because they're going to do the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering and then have it. But I realized like Paul Ellering's got to be the last one because he's a manager. Like they're not going to have
him. Paul Ellering's a beefy boy.
He's a beefy boy. When Nikolai gets into the ring, fans are hyped. Double clothesline to Flair and Arn. He just runs over Tully, just consistently tossing people into the cage. Animal hits a press slam on somebody. I was like, okay, babyfaces, if they could end the match right now, they would dominate. They would win.
He, at one point, picks up Flair in like a military press, just tosses him into the cage.
Yeah.
It's not nice. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's a fucking beast. He's huge.
He is very over. He no-sells Flair's chops in the corner, then just abuses that man. Mm-hmm. He abused the world champion. I don't know if Flair's actually the world champion at this point. I'm assuming he is. Just the absolute abuse.
I assume Flair's world. I mean, it's the 80s. It's the end. I assume he's world champion.
Yeah. Lex Luger comes in next, hits a nasty power slam to Nikita Koloff. And when I say nasty, I don't mean it like, holy shit, that was devastating. I mean, it looked nasty. It looked unsafe.
Yeah. Flair low blows Koloff as well. And then we get a very pivotal spot where there's a spike pile driver from Tully and Flair to Koloff, and they hit a second one.
Love a mighty racer.
In this match, like he was shoot injured. Like he was actually injured. He re-aggravated his neck injury that he had previously, and that would actually set up how he lost the U.S. title. So he's still U.S. champion from when we last saw him with Magnum TA. He's turned babyface with the title. And he would actually lose the belt to Luger in a steel cage match July of 87. And he ended his reign at 11 months, which according to Wikipedia, so this may be wrong, but as of time of recording, is the fifth longest U.S. title reign in the title belt's history. That might have been might be down to six by now or seven, but yeah.
Yeah, John Cena's longer. there's no shot. John Cena's was longer. Dean Ambrose definitely might have been.
Ambrose was longer. Yeah, because it was almost a calendar year. So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So you know, we just are gonna skip over everything that happens during the Lex Luger spot. Oh, except for one thing. At one point, Nikita's on the ground because his neck is hurt, and Dusty's just shielding him.
I protect you, my son. I've got you.
Like it's like you ever see the dumb meme of like there's like a person on the ground and then the soldier like that, and people use that for like almost anything. And it's basically that, except he's actually just on top of Nikita, which can't be healthy because Dusty's a big boy. Next in comes Hawk, and
it's so loud that you cannot hear commentary. Like
you can't hear anything.
It's just a roar. People are hyped that Hawk is here. He's just tossing people. If you watch Koloff during this part, even between things, he is holding his neck. He's just sitting there with his hand on his neck like that.
And he's bleeding.
This is a brawl. There's bodies everywhere. Like Flair hits a figure four. I'm like, you're doing a submission right now.
And he's Dusty holding the rope.
In comes J.J. Dillon. J.J. Dillon tries to punch Hawk. Nothing happens.
J.J. Dillon looks like, remember when Darren Young had fucking Backlund as his manager, and Backlund would come down sometimes like in his gear for whatever reason? He basically looked like that version of Bob Backlund.
I still think what they were trying to do with that gimmick and like Bob Backlund's your manager would make sense. But you can't tell me to make Darren Young great again when Darren Young has never been great. Like you can't hey, sell me on that.
That's a former tag team champion.
I love the primetime players. I will not back away from that take.
Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah.
I thought they were like, just give me more actual tag teams who have their own personalities. Like, it's not, I don't think it's that hard. Just find two people who work well together. I don't know. Vince's hatred of tag teams makes my blood boil.
It's bad. It's real bad. I'm not going to lie.
It's not as bad as JJ Dillon, because JJ Dillon here is dog water.
Animal is no selling his offense and just absolutely fucking ruins this man. Flair at one point is getting his head rubbed on the cage like it's a fucking cheese grater. It looks disgusting. You actually could just see the blood coming off. And
how many gallons of blood do you think Flair has lost in his lifetime in the ring?
A scary amount. Like, it's definitely a scary amount. It's a lot of blood, man. Because it was like people talk shit about John Moxley these days, but like John's only doing it like once a week, once every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever he has a match. And it's not even every match at this point. It's like every other match. Flair was doing that shit like 5 days a week.
Yeah, Flair was all over it.
15, 20 years.
So Paul Ellering comes in. The match beyond begins. Like I said, submission or surrender. And there's so much happening at once. I tried to just focus on what Koloff was doing. The answer was hitting big-ass clotheslines to Luger and one to Tully. That's what he was doing.
That's about it. Then the Road Warriors murder J.J. Dillon. J.J. Dillon.
They beat the shit out of J.J. Dillon. They kick him.
You know what? To be fair, smart. J.J. Dillon is a manager. He's not a wrestler. So what do? You take the two big scary guys on your team and you gang up on them.
Yes, and it worked.
Him to submit because obviously, at one point he's up on the bottom rope just holding it like this while the Road Warriors are like fucking him up and he's like, fuck this, I'm done.
I should be in this match to begin with. Save me. I surrender. Like, the Horsemen have to know. Like, that's probably why they replaced him with the, what do they call him, the War Machine or something like that after
something like that. Big boss.
They had to replace him because they're like, we can't have J.J. Dillon this match again. He bitched out in like 7 minutes. Not even.
It was like five.
What'd you think of this War Games match?
This was fucking chaos. I will say, if the quality were a little better, I'd give it like a higher grade in my personal rankings. But I had a really good time watching this.
I had a great time watching it.
Even like, even the early stages where there's not that many people in there, so you don't get that variety. It's still fun because Dusty's in his bag. It's Arn, and then it's the Brainbusters against Dusty, and then it's the Brainbusters against Dusty and Hawk or Animal, and it's just like a bunch of good shit. You know, they just kind of keep going in a very fun way. And as new people come in, new pieces get put in, and then Paul Ellering comes in, and I don't really give a shit. But the match then starts and it ends 2 minutes later. So
I think for similar to like watching the first ever Rumble, which we did once upon a time, Big John Studd, go listen.
Shout out.
You can see that all of the components are there for a legendary match type. It all makes sense. I think that there was a little bit of too much chaos at points, which is weird. It's War Games. Of course, it's going to be chaos. I think it has been refined over the years to a certain formula. And again, people are like, oh, like, you know, all these matches are the same or they all follow the same formula. Hey, if the formula is good, don't change it. I call that new Coke. You know what I mean? Like, if it's good and people like it, who gives a shit?
I never had new Coke. Did it like actually taste different?
In the 80s when you and I were not in existence. It predates.
Did they bring it back at some point?
All I know is that they changed it and then they had to change it back because everyone was like, this is actually shit, like we're gonna go drink Pepsi now.
You know, there's only middle-aged and old people listening to this. Who are we kidding ourselves? It's a Nikita Koloff episode. If one of you guys want to tell me
about New Coke,
was New Coke actually different or was it just Coke with different branding?
I know for sure it was different, but tell me how it was different. What was wrong with it?
Did it have more hops? Less hops. More fizz?
Cocaine. Less fizz. Less cocaine. Tell us that at CrossbodyWork on Twitter or in the comments of the YouTube video or crossbodyworkpod@gmail.com. Send us those things. We're going to take a break. When we get back, the former Roman Reigns Shield member is going to cut some promos. Back from the break, we have a promo from Nikita Koloff, and the most alarming thing is he has hair.
Yes. I actually saw something about this. While he was gone nursing his neck injury for that time period, he decided, you know what, I'm going to grow my hair out again.
I almost feel bad because if you're going to have...
Looks like, good.
It looks good, but most people, if you see somebody bald, you're like, all right, you shaved your head because you were going bald. Like, life made those decisions for you. But to get a job and they're like, you got to shave your head. I'm like, I don't want to get to my baldness before I have to. You know what I mean? Like, I want to stave it off as best as possible. But he comes back looks, and he's got hair.
He looks like a bat. Like, when he has this, was Nikita Koloff ever in movies? Because he reminds me of someone, like a character, a little bit like bodyguard, muscle man character in some sort of maybe like a Ben Stiller movie or some shit. When he has that buzz cut, he legitimately looks like an actor that I can I see the face, but I don't remember what movie or what name or what. It could actually have been Nikita Koloff.
He was in an American Christian thriller movie called See Me Dance in 2009.
Can confirm it was not that movie.
I figured it would not be that movie. Though I also have a fantastic thing of that he was also involved in. So he's written 3 books, Nikita Koloff. He has been in 4 movies or series. He also has an appearance on America's Funniest People. Not America's Funniest Home Videos, but America's Funniest People, where his daughter won the $10,000 grand prize. Which I don't know. It's related to America's Funniest Home Videos. Like, it's connected. But his daughter has won the prize for being America's Funniest People, I guess.
You know what?
Yeah, it's cool.
Shout out. Shout out. I can't even hate on that. That's great.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
That's amazing.
All right,
America's
so promo,
Funniest People.
Yeah. This promo. Thoughts.
Gary Hart, Ric Flair. That was your... He just said, he goes, Gary Hart, Ric Flair.
Yeah, it's
Big Duck.
You know when sometimes on like a closed captions, you see just the word unintelligible. We're like, we don't know what the fuck he said. Like, that is made for this Nikita Koloff promo. Like, there's parts of it that are definitely like said in Russian and parts that are just Russian-ish and then parts that are in English, but you still can't understand what he said. He also calls it Ric Flair. It's not Ric Flair. It's Ric Flair. And Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor. Well, he had you like this in the rail. Oh, yeah. You know you fucked up. I know you scared of Lex. You know you made him in mind. You scared of Lex. And he says, Roddy Garber, he said, he talks a lot. And then, you know, I give him this right here.
He says something about super partner and then points to his elbow. He also, I love that he says, I know that in your mind, Lex Luthor. Like, this is just turning into an Arnold impression at this point.
I'll the governor of California. In your mind, you scared of Lex Luthor.
I got into your company and I win the United States Championship. It's great.
I think he said something about winning the tag titles. I don't think that. My Arnold just turned into Total Wolf. I don't know what happened there.
Goes straps down and then says, anyone who wants to get in the ring with Koloff, look right here, and just flexes. And he has some of the craziest traps I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
The promo's bad, but honestly, I love him for it. I think it's the right energy for promo. And the crowd, the second he took his straps down, the crowd was
And then he does something about the Russian sickle, and that's when the crowd really went crazy.
They loved it. So promo's not his bag, but that's okay. You don't need to be good at everything.
Not his bag. This was the promo of the year. This was amazing.
Don't tempt me with that with those things. All right. Our last match. So he would join WCW in 1991 for a one-off run before his retirement in November of 1992. We're actually looking at what I believe is his last pay-per-view match. And that
this might actually just be his last match.
Oh, interesting. So that is a match against Vader for the U.S. Championship at Halloween Havoc 1992. Now, is Vader the United States Champion? No. Well, is this a tournament final? No. Instead, Vader is the designated replacement representative for the actual U.S. Champion, Rick Rude.
Why? Because fuck you. That's why.
Because if you can have Vader fight your battles for you, you should.
So in this convoluted ass, this convoluted ass match, there is a referee who was picked out by Masahiro Chono for some reason. It's a Japanese referee.
Yep.
And then I guess Medusa has been banned
from ringside.
And from ringside. Also, Rick Rude. If Vader loses, Rick Rude loses the title. Nikita Koloff wins the belt.
Yeah.
But then when they all come out, Rick Rude is barred from ringside.
Yes.
And Harley Race as well. Harley Race is also barred from ringside. So neither of those two can be there. Also, Rick Rude doesn't have a mustache. At that point in time was when I realized this was a shit show. This was officially a shit show. Ollie comes out, and he's the one that made the announcement that Rick Rude and Harley Race were also barred from ringside. So now that we've gotten 6 minutes out of the way of a 10-minute clip, we can get to the match.
Yes. The match itself, the one thing I noticed is that Koloff's gear is different. Do you know why his gear is different now?
I do not. Why?
Because the USSR has been disbanded by this point, or has started to disband. So now he's billed as hailing from the United States, but is originally from Lithuania.
Okay.
Get excited, Lithuaniacs. It's time
to go. Speaking of people billed from places, Vader is billed from the Rocky Mountains, and JR goes, he's 450 pounds from the Rocky Mountains. And Ventura goes, he is the Rocky Mountains.
I mean, he's not wrong. The actual match itself, Koloff is getting worked for a little bit. He gets a clothesline. He gets a big headbutt. Good selling as usual by Koloff. Vader taunts him, sending him to the outside, and Koloff hits a crossbody because he runs right back in the ring. Hits a crossbody to Vader's back to love.
Yeah.
I'm just going to toss myself at this man.
He just starts doing clubbing shots to the back of the neck. At one point, they start doing some conversations because I believe Vader was on the Rams, and JR called him a Super Bowl champion, and then Ventura is quick to point out, the Rams have never won the Super Bowl.
They have now. They're not going to this year because they're going to be bad. Twice. They're going to be bad this year.
Yeah. And at one point, Vader runs gets some corner shots, and then hits like the reason why that conversation about the Rams is broken up is because Vader hits a massive stiff looking clothesline, and unfortunately, I believe that is the spot where Nikita re-aggravated his neck injury, and that is why this is Nikita Koloff's last match, because of that shot, that stiff clothesline shot that re-aggravated his neck injury. He's not able to work anymore after this. Yeah. They do end up finishing the match. Nikita rolls up Vader for a near fall. Vader goes to the outside. Nikita Koloff follows him to break the count to keep the match alive. At one point, he goes for a Russian sickle on the ringside area. Vader moves out of the way. Nikita goes straight into the post.
This is also where I realized this one takes place, like this show takes place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that means that on ringside, you can see Hat Guy from ECW. He's there. He's at the show. He's at the show.
I didn't notice that.
92. You see him with the fucking hat? It's great. I love Hat Guy.
I did not notice this guy. And that basically leads to the end of the match. Vader gets Nikita back into the ring, works him over a little bit, and then hits power bomb. 1, 2, 3. It's bad. You could tell it's a little towards the side because I feel like Vader was at least told by Nikita, like, hey, like, careful with my neck. So he doesn't land him on his neck. It's kind of just like a flat back bump. Because he does like kind of, he rotates him a little up so that he's able to launch him a little straight, which, you know, good on Vader.
Yeah, that's cool.
But 1, 2, 3, Nikita Koloff loses the match. And as previously mentioned, has suffered a neck injury, and this would be, I'm pretty sure, his last match.
It's his last televised match. He would work a couple of house shows against Rick Rude and Vader, and then his last match was against Vader on November the 8th. And then he retired. Nikita Koloff would become a born-again Christian in 93. According to Wikipedia, as of taping, he records, he runs a ministry, as well as helping with his own small wrestling promotion, which is very exciting. He's made a couple appearances. He was put in the Hall of Fame, I believe, one of the Wrestling Hall of Fames in 2006. Yeah, the George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame and the NWA Hall of Fame in 2008. Also, you know, seems to be a happily guy. I talked about the America's Funniest People thing. That's kind of strange. He's got, I believe, two daughters with his wife, and then his wife also brought two daughters from a previous relationship. They separated, but so he has those daughters in his life. Very exciting. Good for Nikita Koloff.
A girl dad. Shout out,
girl dad. A career that only ran from 84 to 92, but a name that always comes up and that you would see because of, I think, just his impact. What did you think going looking at the career of Nikita Koloff?
It was good stuff. You know, I never at one point was like, yeah, this guy's fucking trash, you know? Like,
no, even from the very beginning, he had something about him.
Yeah, like he always had a little bit of an it factor to him that I thought was really cool. And, you know, it sucks that it didn't last longer. Would have liked to see what the rest of Nikita Koloff's career would have looked like. But, you know, for what we got, the guy was he's extremely talented. He's also just one of those people that just got it with wrestling, you know?
Sometimes you just get it.
Like, he just knew what to do, even from very early on. Like, he knew how to get the reactions that he needed to, whether it was for him as a heel or for the babyface that he was wrestling. Eventually, you know, that kind of sort of metamorphosis happened where he became this babyface guy, and he just kind of knew what he was doing. And I know you have your opinions on that promo, but I thought it was a very engaging promo.
I mean, it's definitely fun. I think it's a very fun promo.
And it's what it's supposed to be. He's a fucking foreigner babyface, you know? It's not supposed to be like, and what we're going to do on Saturday, buddy, is I'm going to beat that fucking ass.
I mean, it's a little unintelligible, but it is a good time.
It's a good time. And that's what Nikita Koloff to me was. He's a good time here. Even that Vader match, you know? It didn't go very long. I'm never going to complain about seeing Vader. But also, like, you know, he got some shots in, and he wasn't supposed to win. You're not supposed to beat Big Van Vader. He's the fucking monster heel at WCW at this point.
It's Vader. So, he's gigantic.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all around, I think, a really good performer, and I think was at the level that he was at, that he should have been at, which was, you know, mid-card champion or a prominent figure around that U.S. title scene. You know, he got a good run with that belt, and he was always around it, and I think that that's exactly the level that he should have been at. Props to Nikita Koloff. Great career.
Props to Nikita Koloff. A tremendous career, and the ability to pivot is always important at the end of your career, too. I think is great. I think also it's so rare that somebody who comes in with such a stereotyped gimmick can pivot well to the other side of the coin and be a babyface.
Yeah.
And be such an over babyface. And I think that's a testament to something you mentioned earlier, where even if he was never the most talented, he definitely got it. He definitely understood how the wrestling is emotions and wrestling is characters and wrestling is feelings more than it is anything else, like especially this era. So I think that ability to pivot is incredible. I liked this. I thought it was a good time. Of course, the recommendation is going to be the Flair match or the Magnum TA match?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. If you want it to be a little shorter, I would say Flair. If you just want to see a damn good match with a story and some heat behind it, it's definitely that Magnum TA one.
And if you want to see JJ Dillon get murdered, it's the War Games match. That poor old man. All right. You should, if you're not already, subscribe to us on YouTube at Crossbody of Work. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. That'd be very exciting. And share it with your friends. You should follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. It's in the bio of the main account. Just look at the bio. You'll see my name highlighted there. Click it. And then hit follow.
Do that for me as well. Add it 7 Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. And of course, you should go to fullpresswrestling.com. Find the links to the matches. Watch all these things. We gave you the recommendations. Go and watch them there. Go to fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch. Support the boys. on YouTube, our next YouTube exclusive is the third episode of the Crossbody Drafts. This week we are drafting our favorite looking wrestling title belts. We are going to see who has the best collection of the gold in their possession at the end of the draft. The answer is going to be me.
It's going to be me.
Next week on the podcast, we are going a little bit more modern, and somebody who has been around and was I don't even know how to describe this man. I'm trying to think of the words. The only thing that comes to mind is he punted a baby. We are looking at Gene Snitsky.
This is for those who are wondering why, this is absolutely a me recommendation.
It wasn't his fault, and it's not our fault that we're covering him. We have to talk about Gene Snitsky, a monster heel, hot debut, weird career. We're going to dive into it. So tune in next week on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, wherever you're listening, rate 5 stars. Help the boys out. Subscribe. Share it with a friend. If you had a grandpa who loved, you know, Nikolai Volkov, wrong Russian. If you Nikita Koloff, if you have somebody you like, maybe both of them. We'll cover Volkov later, but go tell them to listen to the podcast. That means we're at our favorite part of the episode. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, let's go a little sentimental. As of recording, it's Mother's Day here in the United States. I don't know if it's Mother's Day up in Canada.
It is. Is it?
Oh, you guys actually finally have a day that aligns with us?
That's right. We're on the same page for moms.
That's great. Look, Mother's Day is it's a thing that not everyone sort of gets to celebrate in the same way. If you're able to hug your mother, spend some time with her, go and do so.
You should.
Distance is the reason why you can't. Give her a call. Give her a FaceTime if she's tech savvy enough to do that.
that's an important thing to make. They need to be tech savvy enough to do it.
Yes. Give her a call. Do whatever. Talk to your mother. Let her know that you love her. Again, if you're able to, go and see your mother. That's easily the best one. If you're not able to do either, I am sorry. But remember your mom in a way today that would honor her, whether that's, you know, maybe going to eat her favorite restaurant or looking at some old photos or something. Yeah. I know if it's a recent thing, I'm sorry again. I know that the pain is still there, but it's always best to celebrate the mother that you have because they're fucking awesome. They're the real superheroes of this world. So go enjoy time with your mom in some way, shape, or form. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Shout out to all of you.
Shout out to the moms. We will be back next week to talk about a bad dad, Gene Snitsky. I mean, you can't be a good dad if you kick a baby. All right, thanks for joining us. We've talked about Nikita Koloff. We will see you next week.
Bye.